Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We're broadcasting from your Huntley Community Radio Station, 101.5 FM, WHRULP. Our guest today is Cynthia Keener, Executive Director of the Environmental Defenders of McHenry County. Cynthia, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you so much, Ron. I'm so happy to be here.
So let's start with staff. You're talking about increasing staff.
Yes, we have been so fortunate to receive some wonderful grants from community organizations, foundations over the past few years. And even during the pandemic, we actually increased our staff, which really helps when you're kind of 1.5 staff. So we've got five of us working. We've got a director of communication. I'm the executive director. We have the communication and outreach specialist. We've got two part-time bookstore managers and a wonderful bookkeeper. So we're very excited that we're able to do more with that, although a lot of our work is done on the street, on the ground, with volunteer passion and energy.
So I understand you have a new logo and a new website, too.
We do. That was a big thing. When you've been around for 52 years and you sort of rebrand a little bit, it's a really big deal. And we had a fabulous logo done. I think people are probably getting used to it now, and everybody loves it. It really captures the defenders part of what we are. So there's a shield aspect to it. And if you go to our website, which has also been redone and just beautiful, that is mcdef.org, you'll see our logo there as well.
You might want to repeat that again a little bit slower so people can write that down, Cynthia.
M-C-D-E-F, as in frog, .org.
Great. So can you tell us about your school programs?
Yes. So this was very exciting and also something that happened during a very difficult time during the pandemic. We became the new home and fiscal agent to the McHenry County Schools Environmental Education Program, MCSEEP for short. This program was started in 1987, actually by a Defenders member. So it's come full circle. They've had different people be home to their program. It was at the county admin and planning and development, and they approached us and asked us if we would consider becoming the new home, literally. So they moved into our building. There happened to be space at the Woodstock Square Mall, and they moved in, and we've been housing them there and paying utilities and rent. And also we raise money through grants, and some of that grant money goes toward their environmental educators. And MCSEEP has a program that goes into our schools with various curriculum for different environmental topics, depending on the grade level. And they have four environmental educators.
So basically, what are you teaching the individuals that go to these classes, Cynthia?
Well, these are classrooms. So our environmental educators through MCSEEP go into classrooms and they talk about soil. They might talk about climate change. They might talk about compost. The curriculum varies depending on the grade level.
So do you have partnerships now in the township?
Yes. This is a favorite thing of mine, is collaborating and partnering with others, because there's so many different layers to our community in McHenry County. It's a big county. There are a lot of people who play very important roles that can be wonderful partners on different environmental issues. And that's really how you get things done, by working together. So townships, Algonquin Township, McHenry Township Road District, the county itself, different municipalities, businesses, schools, of course, school districts. We're just all over the place and partner with so many people. And there's more to come.
So I see something over here in your notes about the styrofoam collection.
Yes. So that is a partnership program that we have with various communities. So the Village of Algonquin and the City of Woodstock at Public Works, and also the Algonquin Township Road District. We have three collection sheds for styrofoam. And so folks can take their styrofoam to these three sheds anytime throughout the year. There's no special drive. It's there all the time. As long as we can keep it funded, which we receive money through grants and donations, people can drop off their styrofoam there. And it's taken locally and it's upcycled. So styrofoam, we do not want to see that in the trash. And it certainly cannot go in recycling.
Are they having trouble taking this styrofoam and processing it? Because I know that At one time, China was the biggest user of styrofoam, and that kind of cut way back. So who's actually taking this now?
So the green wall that went up, and, you know, general plastics were no longer accepted in China. But that the styrofoam program has been local for us from the get-go, and all of our collection goes to Elgin, where a board member houses it at his facility, and that's then picked up by Dart Company. So Dart Company then upcycles. They take it to a facility locally in the Midwest, and then that's upcycled into other product, keeping it out of the landfill a little bit longer, or maybe, you know, for good, depending on what the upcycled product is.
Oh, hopefully for good. That's,
yes,
that's the main
goal.
That's
what we're after.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how about this stream sign crossings?
So I don't know if you've noticed, but if as you're traveling around the county, you'll start to see Fox River watershed. You'll start to see some signs at various stream, creek, and river crossings. So I'm sure you'll notice today, as you travel around, they're popping up everywhere. And that's a partnership that we've had with others to help raise awareness that we are in a very special and broad-based watershed community. And so when people understand that they're crossing a creek that is a feeder stream to the Fox River or the Kishwaukee, they understand more broadly that they're part of this wonderful watershed, and they may not even have known that there was a creek there. And now they'll care. When you bring attention and education, people tend to care more and want to take care of those special places.
So were these never identified before, Cynthia?
No, this is new signage, and it's just a fantastic program that we're continuing. And so we've gotten funding, and we have various partners that work with us. And just really looking forward to continuing that.
And how about your zero waste lunch program?
We're working one school at a time, pretty much. But we've partnered with Seven Generations Ahead. That's an organization that has a zero waste lunch toolkit, and that helps guide schools on how to reduce waste in the cafeteria. So separating recyclables from trash and composting as well. Our big stumbling block is not having the waste haulers able to pick up all three of those things. So we're working hard to make those relationships and bring about that some change so that when we have a school that wants to implement this program, which has to include compost, because food and plastic are one of the biggest culprits in our landfills, and they can be sent other places that are more appropriate. But we need waste haulers to pick up the compost as well as the recycling and the landfill.
Well, it reminds me of my days in the military, because when you had the mess hall outside, there's three containers. One was for meats, and one was for breads, and one was for paper items. And the meats or the fats also went to the hog farmers.
Absolutely.
So you would think that would be an avenue that people can take advantage of, because
mm-hmm.
it's free meals, basically.
Yeah, and there are a lot of solutions to this. There are solutions with the grocery store and preventing fresh vegetables from that don't look so nice for the shelves, preventing those from going right to landfill and going to our food pantries, for example.
You mentioned you wanted to talk about two successful book stories, The Green Spot and The Green Road. So can you touch base on those and tell us about that?
Yeah, so the Green Spot is a longtime bookstore that we've had, and it is in the Woodstock Square Mall across from our Defender's office. And its model is keeping great books out of the landfill. So we get donations from the public, and that those books are then sold in our bookstores. So the Green Read is in Crystal Lake, and that opened up about 4 years ago. And same model, people can donate books, and we sell them. And it's been just a terrific program for us, and especially having another location other than Woodstock and where our office is, because we represent the whole county. The programs we run, the services that we do, that the people that we reach out to are all over our county. And so to have a bookstore in Crystal Lake, which is kind of the heart of the population center of McHenry County, mm-hmm. Is a really nice place. So people can come in and they can get to know what the Environmental Defenders is at our bookstore there.
Well, I know the Woodstock Library has book sales, and they accept donations for books.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying to the public is, if you have books that you don't know what to do with, they can contact you.
Yep. They can bring a couple of boxes by at a time to our bookstores and or our office and donate those. And we probably have someone coming by nearly every day donating books. And the Green Spot in Woodstock, we now have an added space because we had so many books, which is the clearance corner. So we're always taking those donations and, you know, very, very excited to pass on wonderful books to others.
Have you gotten to the point where you've got so many books that it's very hard to inventory everything?
It can be challenging, yes. And we've got wonderful, amazing volunteers who come into our space and they sort through. So some of the books that are donated they're not really going to the shelves because of their condition, but we'll make sure that they're recycled. So some of the books don't make it that far. And then others will go into the clearance corner. And then since we have both stores, and we have two part-time bookstore managers who kind of manage all that activity. But I have to say, too, the shifts at our bookstores are filled by volunteers. And both stores are open 6 days a week. And that is really quite an amazing thing when you think about all those various shifts. And some days there are two shifts per day. They're wonderful, fabulous people, and we're so fortunate to have them.
So if I went to your bookstore and I said I want to get a great deal on a Tom Clancy book, what would it cost me?
It depends on which bookstore. So the costs at Crystal Lake Bookstore is a little bit higher because of where we are, and our rent is much higher versus Woodstock, but you can get a great book for $2 to $7. It really depends on, and in the clearance corner, a dollar. So absolutely. And they both have phone numbers. They both have information on our website, so you can call ahead and see if they have a particular book in that you were just come and peruse around.
You know, they're organized by novels and by different subjects, different topics. That's how you organize those books?
The fiction section is organized by author, and then there are other sections that are gardening or cooking and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. The that makes it very, very easy to find the book you're looking for.
Yeah.
So while we continue on with Cynthia, we want to take a break here for a minute just to remind you that you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your community radio station. And we're talking to Cynthia Connor, Executive Director of the Environmental Defenders of McHenry County. Cynthia, the Defenders building a community solar farm. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is a really big, big project, and we're really excited that it's just come to fruition thanks to the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act legislation that passed. So CEJA funds, in part, Illinois Solar for All. And Illinois Solar for All is the program that we applied through to build our community solar farm. And the focus is on providing clean energy to low, middle-income families in the area, in this ComEd region. We have property that we bought probably 10 or 12 years ago through a grant down South Dean Street, and that's where our solar farm is going to be going. So we'll be up and running next summer. And between now and then, we're doing everything with our project managers that we have to do to get things done. We'll be restoring the land once the solar array is in to native plants for pollinators. So it's more than providing clean energy to folks. It's also going to be a place where school groups can go. People can go and learn. We'll have interpretive signs. They can learn about why it's important to restore the land to native plants, and also bring in the connection between native plants and recharging the groundwater at that site. So very exciting, and it's part of our strategic plan to reach out to low middle income communities.
That's a very, very encouraging plan. It's one that takes a lot of work, a lot of effort to put that in. How do you then get that solar energy to those people in need? How does that communicate it to them?
We will have someone through the GRNE Solar, which is building our solar farm. They have a whole plan and partner with others to bring subscription opportunities to our communities. So that's but although we do have our own connections, and we'll be reaching out to, for example, families through the Youth and Family Center of McHenry County. Our own Environmental Defenders members will subscribe, and the Defenders is actually the anchor tenant. So there's a certain amount of energy that will be taken up by low-middle-income communities, Defenders members, which may be a part of that community as well, and the Environmental Defenders office and its bookstores, et cetera, itself.
So if somebody heard about this and contacted you, how do they determine whether they'd be a qualified applicant?
I can definitely send information, but the info about how you would qualify for low-middle-income community is on the Illinois Solar for All website as well. But I'm always happy to answer any questions and respond to emails or phone calls when people have questions about subscribing when it comes time for that. I have to say, we have a solar committee, and we've been working on this for over 6 years. So sometimes to make big change in the environmental field, you have to have patience, and we do.
That's amazing. Here we got the solar farm coming in. We now have Buffalo in McHenry County, so we're really kind of making strides when you look at all this.
It's a special place.
What about your Latino outreach program?
Yeah, so that's something that we've been working on slowly, very grassroots, and really trying to build relationships in our Latino community, which I believe is about 14% of McHenry County. And so as typical with other organizations, we just don't see the diversity of people who are engaging with us. So we're connecting and reaching out and learning more about those communities and what they're interested in. And we've built a really awesome group of conservation organizations, the Environmental Defenders, of course, the Land Conservancy, the McHenry County Conservation District, Friends of Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge, and we partner with the Youth and Family Center and with Hispanic Connections Woodstock. So we have a steering committee that also has our Latino leaders on that. And I'm very lucky, too, that I have someone who's moonlighting and working for us on contract, just graduated from UIC, who's helping to do some outreach. The ultimate purpose is to be inclusive of those voices and to learn about what concerns that they have. And also we're exploring through our other interns issues of environmental justice in McHenry County, because we were not really sure what that looks like. And so we're kind of delving into that.
So you sleep about 1 hour a night to get all this work done?
No,
is that it?
It's funny. I sleep well, and I'm even trying to read a book right now because the Environmental Defenders has a new book club that I'm going to try. Although it's 500 pages, so I'm a little worried about that.
Okay.
And I'm on the Food Shed Co-op board of directors. So,
yeah, we're looking forward to the Food Co-op coming to Woodstock and McHenry County.
Next summer is going to be a big deal.
I hope so.
Got solar farm and a grocery store.
A lot of people in McHenry County have purchased shares of stock in the co-op, mm-hmm. and are looking forward to it.
I'm happy to come back and introduce you to our GM, and we'll have another show.
That sounds good. I'll take you up on that. Can you tell us about your scholarship winners this year?
Yes, we had four, with one actually deferring because he's going to National Guard, scholarship winners. And thanks to a donation from an anonymous donor member, we were able to double the scholarships that we give, which is 2,000. As a mom with two boys in college, young men, I should say, 1,000, 2,000, it helps.
absolutely.
We're really happy to, and there'll be a press release soon about our scholarship winners and where they're doing, who they are, and where they're going.
So if I want to be an intern, I want to help out, how do I go about doing that?
Well, it's interesting because we've sort of connected our scholarship winners to the next round of internship opportunities. So the people who have applied, and maybe they didn't receive a scholarship, but because we had about 10 or 12 scholarship applications this year, we give them the opportunity to continue that relationship and apply for an internship. So that's kind of, they've been sort of been filled by our scholarship winners, which is really wonderful. We build those relationships. So we have four interns this summer working on environmental justice, too, with water natural resources protection, and also waste reduction, and focusing a lot on compost and food insecurity.
Well, I know you've got some notes talking about plastic reduction and food composting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So the Environmental Defenders strongly advocates for single-use plastic reduction and also food waste reduction. So by encouraging our towns and our county as much as possible. Usually things have to be done town by town to offer curbside compost, for example, for whether it's multifamily dwelling or single family homes. It's really important for people to have the opportunity to not allow that food waste in their homes to go into the trash bin. So that's an opportunity right there. And we're seeing that more. Crystal Lake and Lake in the Hills offer curbside compost pickup for their residents. And then plastic is such a huge problem. The Defenders, which everybody knows, and this is not a shocking, bags, bottles, straws, balloons even. So the Defenders was really instrumental with our BYO bag program years ago in encouraging the city of Woodstock. And they're the only town in our county that has a charge for single-use plastic bags. And really, we want to talk about waste reduction and not so much about recycling. The problem with recycling is when people have something that's plastic, they don't mind using it because they'll say, well, I can recycle it. But single-use water bottles, you know, the plethora of them when you walk into grocery stores is just mountains of single-use water bottles is staggering to me. And we did a microplastic study here in connection with the U of I Urbana-Champaign chemist, and we have microplastics in the Nipper Sink and the Kishwaukee. So this is real, and it's a health concern even. And I think statewide, you'll see some legislation that really focuses in on single-use plastics. I think there's going to be big change. We were a little bit pushed because of COVID, you know, because you want to support your local businesses too. And so a lot of them had to go to carry out containers, which are often plastic. So just if I could ask people to think about waste reduction and not be too wedded to the idea of recycling, because the success rate is not great.
They're finding plastic in ocean fish as well.
Oh, yes.
That's come out. As far as food composting, that's very big. My daughter lives in Portland, Oregon, and that's very big out there. They do supply a container with a lid on it, so you can put that composting material out there, but only when you know the pickup is going to be there so animals don't get into it, you know, by leaving it out overnight, that type of thing. But that's become a very, very big item out there, and it's very, very popular. I see you got something about vehicle charging stations. Are you guys involved in that now, too?
Yes. So we're everywhere. It's a big environment. There are a lot of things to do. So we received a few grants, and we partner with towns, and the county as well was one of our partners. So we've partnered so far with the city of Woodstock, with Crystal Lake is our latest, and also with the county. So what we do is purchase a charging station through grants that we receive. And if someone is willing to partner with us, that means they're going to be spending funds in their cities, towns, to install the charging station. So we've got a charging station in Woodstock. It charges two cars. It's Clipper Creek. And then actually this Friday, tomorrow, I'm giving a talk about that charging station. So I'll be out there. And there might be a line for the charging station because other speakers are bringing their electric cars, too. I have a 100% electric car. And so very excited about that. And I'm hopefully going to be meeting with some folks out in Harvard because I'd like to get a grant and work with Harvard and get a station out there. We've actually had run into people in the Woodstock at the station in the city of Woodstock who are sitting in their cars charging and working. They live and work in Harvard, but there isn't a station. So.
And what about Huntley? Have you approached Huntley yet?
Not in particular. We've done a lot of other things with Huntley. They, in fact, received one of our awards last year. The school district did, because they're doing a lot with solar and a lot with environmental issues and looking at, that's a school district that really would like to implement the zero waste cafeteria program, but we've got to get that compost part of it solved.
The thing I hear the most with people who have electric cars that they wish that gas stations had charging stations so they would be out there, they'd be more available. But then again, how do you recover the cost? Because right now you get there's a charge on your gas that you pay for right now. There's a road use tax that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Will that then apply to a charging station where you put a credit card in and you pay X amount of dollars for an hour or whatever it may be, that then goes towards the road use tax?
Yeah, so right now there's a lot of infrastructure coming. You know, with the passage of CEJA and the focus on clean energy, and Illinois is a real standout in our country with a lot of this progress. So there's a lot of infrastructure, something to keep an eye on. There are many more charging stations available now than there have been. And one of the ways that they're recouping some of that cost, because we don't pay that gas, is through an increased registration fee for EV cars. But I'm sure they'll work out other ways so that we share that expense, which is logical.
I'm sure they will. We've been talking to Cynthia Connor, the Executive Director of the Environmental Defenders of McHenry County. And we want to thank you folks for listening today. Once again, you've been listening to Around Town, 101.5 FM, WHRULP. If you want more information, please go to communityradio.com. Contact us, click on that, and we'll give you all the information you need. In the meantime, have a great day. Have a good day.